start them whenever I want. I just kind of laugh. Technically, people start them on the first. Whatever, right? Keep you on your toes. I haven't figured out the title for the series, but let me say this. I called this girl this past week, and I'm getting better of growing out of my New Jersey impatient, get out of my way, give me what I need. I'm growing in that. So I've trained myself to say, oh, hi, how are you doing? How's your day? I'm getting good at that. And it's really kind of fun. You should just try it. Everybody that you meet, like if you're at a checkout or the waiter, stuff like that, go, hey, how's your day? And amazing things you hear. Amazing things you hear. So this one girl that I called, and she's not here. Okay. She said, oh, she starts laughing. She goes, you don't even want to know how my day was. I go, what? She goes, worst day ever. Worst day ever. And I started, as I ask people, sometimes they'll say, oh, it's good. Sometimes they'll say it's not worth complaining. Sometimes they'll say, oh, it's a bad day. Today is a bad hair day. I will say that. But, you know, people are telling me all their bad days. And guys, we all have bad days. I'm not cursing you. I'm not speaking bad things. But come on. Have you ever had a bad day? Yeah. If not, you're a liar. Okay. We have had bad days, right? We've had bad days. So if you're taking notes, write this down. This is your poster note for the week. Ready? First and most important thought. Jesus understands all your bad days. He understands all your bad days. You should write that down. I'm telling you, okay? That is so important. And Hebrews 2 says Jesus understands everything we've gone through. He's been there, done that. He understands your bad days. Everybody say, he understands my bad days. He's gone through it, and he understands. So we're going to look at that today. Actually, we're going to look at that for a couple of weeks, however long I want to make the series, all right? So we're going to look at that. Now, if you were to think, if Jesus understands my worst day ever, if Jesus understands my bad day, what do you think was his worst day ever? The cross. The cross. I would say that was his worst day ever in a natural sense, okay? So today I want you to identify with Jesus' worst day ever, all right? Because as I start going over this, you'll say, and as I just start telling you about how he felt on his worst day ever, you're going to go, shoo, I felt like that. I have felt those same things, all right? So that's what we're going to kind of look at today. First, I'm going to highlight some of the things Jesus felt while he was hanging on the cross. While he was hanging on the cross. So in case you've had a worse day, I want to tell you about his worst day. Some of the things he felt. Number one, write it down, betrayal. Woo! That will cause your worst day ever. Someone betrayed you. Huh? Anybody ever someone betray you? Whoa, yeah. Okay. So he was betrayed by one of the 12, right? Judas. Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Right? You all know that part? Look at me like you need more coffee. Put the coffee on, Carol. No, okay. So when somebody betrays you, that can cause a bad day, a hurt, right? Second thing Jesus felt while he was dying on the cross, he felt it. People were having false accusations towards him, a.k.a. lying. Anybody have some people lying about you? Okay, he had a whole bunch of it. Matter of fact, they grabbed him at the Garden of Gethsemane. They threw him into like two or three different trials. And during those trials, by the way, those trials took place at night, which were totally illegal by Jewish law and Roman law. You weren't allowed to snatch somebody and have a nighttime trial. Because, you know, like my dad says, anything that happens in the dark, you're in trouble. My dad had these two sentences he'd pour out on us. Okay, so betrayal, we're talking about betrayal, false accusations. During these trials, these I can't say that word. Anyway, these sleazeballs, okay, were throwing them in trials. And during the trials, there was a bunch of people that would toss out false accusations to Jesus. They'd say, Jesus said this. And he's like, I never said that. And they yell out in the trial, Jesus did this. And he's like, I never did that. Jesus did this. I never did that. And he had people shooting false accusations, lies about him. How many of you would say that could create a bad day? Yeah. Okay, here's another one. Ready? Rejection. Oh, gosh. Rejection. Okay, as soon as they grab him for these trials, what happens to the 12? They all shoot off and run away. All right? And then we have Peter. Peter sticks around until he denies him 3 times, and then he runs away. All right? Talk about feeling rejected by your friends. He felt the rejection. And, you know, when I think about our young people and what's going on in their life as compared to mine when I was growing up, in my day when you're growing up and if you wanted to hurt somebody and slander them and false accusation, what'd you do? You write a little note and slip it into to the next person, right? Nowadays, with social media, whoa, bad. Really bad, where they are just slandering and saying horrible things, and our youth are feeling horrible rejection because of that stuff and causing terrible damage. You're seeing suicide because of stuff like that, okay? It's crazy, and I'm hoping that today we'll give you some real good truth to walk over that. All right, the next one, number four, abuse. Jesus was abused. I know some of you here, you have gone through abuse in one way or another, all right? But Jesus was abused, and he was whipped, 39 times with a whip. And the whip was just not like the little one my kids play with. No, no, no. It had little whips tied to the big strings, tied with sharp bones and stones. So when he was whipped, it would hit his skin, and then it would dig in and rip it off. Kids, a little abusive, huh? A little, yeah? Okay, then they stuck the crown of thorns, which was not this little one I buy from Oriental Trading Company. It had big, heavy thorns in there, and they smashed it in his head. That was abusive. Then they put a hood over his face, and they start punching him, and they go, okay, prophet, tell us who hit you. And the next one would punch him and say, okay, prophet, the prophet here, why don't you tell us who hit you? A little abusive, right? Yeah, pretty abusive, all righty. So I would say he had that caused a horrible, bad day ever, all right? The last one I want to talk about is humiliation. Have you ever been humiliated in public? Have you ever had a boss just say something in front of people and you go, my gosh, I'm going to die 1,000 deaths, all right? Humiliated. He was humiliated. Now, when we watch the movies, he's got this little loincloth on when he's on that cross. But historians say, no, 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 he was naked. He was naked on that cross. That's humiliating. So they did the ultimate shame and humiliation. Okay, I could go on, but you get a picture. His worst day ever, right? So can you agree those are things that can cause those people, those that did that, can cause a horrible, worst day ever? And I want to tell you, Jesus understands your worst day. He's been there. What do we say? Been there and done it. He understands your worst day. Everybody say out loud, he understands my worst day. He understands. So the next couple weeks, what we're going to do is look at some statements that Jesus says while he's on the cross. Okay? Because these statements are actually going to show you and I the roadmap on how we can overcome our bad days. He says some profound things. Now, if you were to read just the Gospel of Mark, or just the Gospel of Matthew, or just the Gospel of John, just read one of them, you would not see all the statements he makes, okay? So you have to read all of them, and they have this fabulous thing. It's even better than Google, because he asked Google all these things. It's called a chronological Bible, and it puts them all in order. Anybody have one of those? You ought to. put that on your Christmas list. Just Google chronological Bible, and it puts all these in the order that they happened, okay? So we're gonna look at the statements that Jesus makes and how he walked through his worst day ever so that we can do this. The first statement, all right, is found in Luke chapter 23. Oh, let me back up. Let's do Hebrews 12. Sorry about it. I'm getting ahead of myself, okay? Hebrews 12, verse 2. Don't you like somebody showing you the road, showing you the way so you don't have to fall in the ditch? Jesus has walked it all through, guys, and as we come to understand, you don't have to fall in the ditch, okay? So this is why we're going to study this. But look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. I'm going to, this is the Message Bible. Here we go. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. This race we're in, right? Study how he did it. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to study how he overcame worst day ever, bad days. We're going to study that, all right? Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. And I just wrote down the cross, the shame, whatever, all righty? Okay, so again, we're gonna look at and study what Jesus said, because that'll be the keys on how we walk through bad days, all righty? Now, go to Luke. Here we go. Luke, this is the first thing that Jesus says. Luke, chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Okay, this is the first thing he says hanging on the tree. And most of you know this, but I'm going to read it anyway. Here we go. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." You need to say that. Father, forgive them, all right? For they do not know what they are doing. I'm not going to read the rest, okay? So we're going to learn about bad days, but generally speaking, aside from, you know, the washing machine blowing up, most of our bad days that I'm talking about are caused by people, right? People usually cause my bad days. You idiot! And I go off like a tirade. Pastor D, you don't say that. I'm working on it, okay? Working on it, all right? So people, how many would say people kind of cause our bad days? They do, all righty? So the first thing this tells us that we need to do, ready? We need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how to forgive. Oh, crud, Pastor D, you're going to talk about forgiveness? Yes, 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 okay? All righty, now, when you really understand forgiveness, you will have freedom in your life. You will have freedom in your life. You won't have or get stuck in bad days. If you can understand forgiveness, it'll just be miraculous in your life. So here's your main idea. The one thing I want you to understand more clearly than you ever did before. If you think you already know it, you're going to look at it again. You ready? You ready to write this down? The main idea, the big idea, write this down. You can forgive the unforgivable. You can forgive the unforgivable. Sure is quiet in these parts. Yep. Yep. You can forgive the unforgivable. You can forgive the unforgivable. You know what? You can. You know why? Listen, why? Why can I? How can I? If raise your hand if you've received Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of life. You've asked him to come into your life. The day you asked him to come into your life, he put all of him, his nature, his life, his ability inside of you. Inside of you, he put it inside of you. That's who you are. So you have him inside of you so you can forgive. A lot of times it's, I don't wanna. It's not that I can, it's that I don't wanna. But we're not going to do that, all right? So you have the ability to do exactly what Jesus did, hanging on the cross. You have the ability inside of you to do exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Amen, Pastor D. Yeah, right, I'm excited. Okay, so just for a moment, just imagine here's Jesus hanging on the cross, all the things, the betrayal, the rejection, the shame, humiliation that he went through. Okay, just imagine how he feels. Just imagine what he's thinking, okay? And what he does immediately, he says, Father, forgive them. And you can translate that as, I forgive them. And you can even take it a notch higher. I forgive you. Immediately, he's not like, oh, I'm not sure. Immediately, he says, I forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Praise the Lord, okay? So you can, because of who lives inside of you, of who is your Savior, who has taken over your life, you can forgive the unforgivable. Say, I can forgive the unforgivable. I can, all right? So be honest, no lying. Ready? No lying here, all right? Have you ever struggled with forgiving people? Yes. Okay. I have. Okay. And, you know, we struggle because I don't think we understand what forgiveness is not. So I'm going to give you five things that forgiveness is not. Isn't. Five things, because until you know what it's not, you can't figure out what it is. All right. Forgiveness, number one, is not. And then at the end, I'm going to give you a Bible definition. Okay. But let's just go over what forgiveness is not. Okay, forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. Forgiveness is not minimizing the offense, okay? Christians struggle with this. I've struggled with this because we are taught, you know, that Jesus says we're to love everybody, right? Jesus says, love everybody, love your enemies, love them, love them, love them. And you're like, yeah, but they have hurt me to smithereens. They have offended me. They have caused my bad day. So maybe I'll just pretend like it didn't happen because I'm to love everybody. You can't forgive. And, you know, that's denial. Okay, that's getting into denial. And you cannot forgive people until you say, hey, yeah, they hurt me. They offended me. They did this to me. You cannot forgive until you say, yeah, they did it. All right. Years ago, 30 years ago, this happened to me. This person really just said some horrible things about me a lot of false accusations and stuff. And it hurt. And I walked around like this. Oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. Whatever. And then I met my friend. She's a pastor. She's a counselor. And we were having this conversation. And she nailed me. She nailed me. She says, Dee, what that person did hurt you. Yes. She says, you need to acknowledge it hurt. It wasn't right. It was horrible. I am. I'm allowed to do that. Yes, you are not allowed to minimize it. You're allowed to say, they hurt me. And then you can forgive. Then you can forgive. So forgiveness is not minimizing the offense. Forgiveness is, okay, we'll go on to what it is. All right. Next one, number two, forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Guys, reconciliation has to do, it's the two people game. It takes two people to do reconciliation. Forgiveness is a one-person game. Okay? For reconciliation. Someone caused and said or did, and it really hurt you, and you finally get to talk to them, and they say, oh, you get to tell them. And they go, oh, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me? I shouldn't have said that. And there's reconciliation. Doesn't happen all the time, though, right? Sure, the perfect world, okay? But listen, forgiveness is not reconciliation. You can still forgive whether they fess up or not. You can still forgive if they don't own it, all right? Because forgiveness is, I forgive you. So forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not that, okay? No, so you can forgive the unforgivable, guys. I'm going to have you singing that in a moment. You can forgive the unforgivable. All right, next one. Here we go. Number three. Forgiveness is an absolution from God. Now, I get that in my church upbringing. Some of you may not. But, you know, there's all different personalities. I look across here and I'm like, oh, that's that personality. But, you know, sometimes there are these justice personalities. I have to have justice. They're kind of like black, white people. It's either black and white. And so when I said forgiveness is an absolution from God, this type of personality is like, I can't forgive them because then they'll get off the hook with God. Now, none of you ever thought that. You know, if I forgive them, then they don't have to deal with God. Wrong. You forgive, period. And you don't not forgive them so they don't have to deal with God. They'll deal with God. All right? God is God. He is just. They'll have to deal with him. But that's not the reason why you don't forgive him. Well, I'm not going to forgive him because then I want to make sure they have to deal with God. Come on. That's not right, right? You know, Pastor D, you're the only one that ever thought that. You're not kidding. Okay. So we need to release them and forgive them. We need to release them and forgive them. Let me give you a scripture. Romans 12:19. Dear friends, never take revenge. Now, I'm just going to stretch your little brains here. Unforgiveness is a light form of revenge. Well, I'm not going to forgive them. Just think on that. It's dinner time conversation. All righty. So let's read the rest of it. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of who? God. For scripture says, I, God, will take revenge. I, God, will pay them back, says the Lord. All right. Self-explanatory, right? You can follow that one. All right. Now, when I think of Christians or I think of anybody, just, you know, anybody, and they keep getting things coming back in their life. It keeps coming back in their life. It's like the little dog that just keeps, turn to Galatians. Let me tell you what this is all about. Okay, Galatians 6:5. Do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. You will reap exactly what you plant. So if things keep biting you because you're not forgiven, it's time to let go. Forgive. Okay? Time to forgive. Okay? And when you forgive someone, you don't say, oh, God, go get them. I forgive them. Now you go sick them, God. I forgave them. God, you go take them down. God, I forgive them. Go strike lightning on it. You're not allowed to say that. Okay, that's not forgiveness. That is not forgiveness, all right? That is not. And we don't want to do that. Forgiveness is, I am releasing you. I'm releasing you, okay? And it's between them and God afterwards. It's between them and God afterwards, all right? Okay, forgiveness is not absolution with God. Praise God. Fourth one. Here we go. Forgiveness isn't fair. How many of you have kids that have said that? That's not fair. Gosh. I told you all the times certain one of my kids would say that. It wasn't Sherry. She was the perfect child. Yeah, right. Have you ever felt that someone did something and it was really bad? Someone did something really bad to you and you said, well, you know what? It's not fair that I have to forgive them. Probably only your kids have said that because you've all grown up and you don't say that. But I have thought that. Okay? It's not fair that I have to forgive them because they did this bad thing to me. Okay, now, can you imagine saying, well, it's not fair that God has forgiven me everything. It's not fair. Okay, how many of you know God has forgiven you of every sin, past, present, and future? Okay, in case you don't know that, you need to know that. I'll pray with you afterwards, all right? So, yes, he did forgive us. But, you know, you don't want to play the fair card with God. I think of all my sins, mess. I can't even remember half of them. Oh, before I met Jesus, while I'm with Jesus, I think of all the things I've done. And you want God to play fair with you? No, I am. How many of you are very excited that God has forgiven all? And you don't wear them out either, okay? I am excited that he forgives all right? I am glad that, that he forgives, he just forgives me. He forgives you. Praise God. I'm going to give you a quote by C.S. Lewis. By the way, Tales of Narnia, awesome. He's got some great books out. He's in heaven now, but you should read it. Actually, two Christmases ago, I had never read them. So that was what I read for the whole month of December. Tales of Narnia, just fun. Okay, you ready? C.S. Lewis said this: to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in me. Guys, he's forgiven me, so we forgive. Praise the Lord. Right. So listen, forgiveness is not fair. Thank God. Right? Last one. Forgiveness is forgetting. Excuse me. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. I don't know about you, because I'm not lying today, but I remember some things that people have done to me. Okay? I remember, but God doesn't remember. What's it say? He forgives all of our sins as far as the east is the west. He throws them in the sea of forgetfulness, not because he has dementia or anything going on. He is God. He forgives. He is God. He forgives. See? And I'm so glad he forgives. But listen to this. Aren't you glad, though, that when you pray, he's not saying, well, you know, you're praying, God, you know, thank you, I love you, and by the way, this is going on, I need some help here. Aren't you glad that it isn't say, well, listen, I remember how you really screwed up last week, so, you know. Aren't you glad? He doesn't remember. Praise the Lord. All right, he doesn't. Now, we remember. Come on, no lying. We remember. We remember. We remember two ways, one of two ways. We either remember the hurt, the bitterness and the anger that we have. Okay, that's one way we remember people. Or we remember and we say, oh yeah, they did me bad, but I forgive. I release them. So you have option A and option B on how you forgive. All right. And I always know when I'm not unforgiveness is when I'm like, oh my God, I have these feelings. Okay. So I am choosing to say, yep, I release them and I forgive them. Praise God. All right. You can forgive the unforgivable. Say, I can forgive the unforgivable. You can. All right. Here's my Bible D. Cashman version of forgiveness. This is my version. Here we go. Forgiveness is saying, I won't hold you accountable for the wrong you did to me. I release you. Forgiveness is saying, I won't. Decision. I won't hold you accountable for the hurt you caused, and I release you. All right? I'm growing at it. There are days I sail through it, and there's other days I am still growing. Anybody growing in this? Yeah. Okay. So forgiveness is saying, hey, I release them and I won't hold them accountable for what they've done, right? Praise God. Now, let me just a little golden nugget. If you did not get reconciliation, two people game, right? If you did not get reconciliation with the person, they did not admit to what they did, the hurt, the abuse, okay? It's okay, wisdom, you need to set boundaries, okay? If you didn't get the reconciliation, you set boundaries. If they have shredded your name, you don't invite them over. Sorry. You can do whatever you want. Okay. I wouldn't invite them over for dinner and hang out and take them on vacation, okay, unless God spoke to me. Because I'm going to set boundaries because they're still doing that, all right? Pastor D? No, come on. Set boundaries. That's wisdom, all right? Now, but forgiveness is still saying, I know what you did. I release you and I will not hold you accountable. That's the time you use the but. But forgiveness is, I release you. I do not hold accountable. Okay? But you use wisdom. Okay? And I'm telling you, if you do that, it brings such freedom in your life. It brings freedom. How many have found out? Forgiving people just sets you free. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you two reasons why you and I need to forgive. Just two. Two reasons why you and I need to forgive. Two reasons. Ready? Number one, you will continually be offended if you don't forgive. All right? You'll continually. If you don't forgive, it's like the never-ending, 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 never-ending. So you need to forgive. All right? Now, we live on a planet where people are not perfect. And some people, I think their spiritual gift is to be a annoyance to me. Now, that is not a God gift, okay? But I'm like, for real? Are you kidding me? None of you are those here. I'm not lying. Here we go. Okay, okay. So turn to John chapter 16 before I get myself in any more trouble. John chapter 16. Shoot, Pastor D, you better keep moving here. John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. This is Jesus. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Woo! I like peace. In me you'll have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Okay. Trouble comes all different size, shapes, smells, everything. Okay. But listen to this. One way trouble comes is people that offend you can cause your bad day. All right, that could be a trouble. When someone causes you a bad day, that's a trouble, all right? So in this world, you will have trouble. This is Jesus. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Woo! Now think about that. How did Jesus overcome the world? Okay, obvious, he died and he rose again. I know that one. But listen, how did Jesus overcome the world? How did he overcome the world? I mean, he's hanging on the cross. They have just shredded him, abused him, you know, just all sorts of things. So he could have said, you know what? I'm done with this bunch. God, they can all go to, I'm not forgiving them. All right. He could have done that, but you know what? He didn't. He said immediately, Father, I forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. Okay, so that's one way you can overcome. You release and forgive them. You release and you forgive them. That's just one way, all right? Now, isn't it awesome that he overcame? He overcame all those horrible things. He's been there, done that. Everything that's been hard in your life, he's been that. He's had that type of thing happen. So aren't you glad he overcame? I am so glad he overcame. And you know what? Because he overcame, I believe this, there is nobody on this planet that can take me down. Now listen, they can make accusations, they can say this and that, but I am not going to let anybody do that, because I am going to choose to forgive. All right? I am going to choose to forgive. And listen, who lives inside of you and me? Jesus Christ. And he overcame and he forgave, so I'm going to do it. Because otherwise, it holds you. And I don't want to be held down. All right? Ugh, I don't want to. I'm not a nice person like that. All right? Listen, even the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive our bad days. Forgive those, okay? Now, just as soon as you get this, and you forgive and you release somebody, and you're not going to let them hold you in a bad day, I got news. Another one's going to pop up. All right. Now, I'm not, all you faith people, I'm not predicting bad things, but hey, that's just life, right? You run into people, it's life. It happens. So we better get a hold of this. Praise the Lord. All righty. Here's the second reason you and I need to forgive. Second reason you and I need to forgive. Ready? Unforgiveness only hurts you. Not fair. Okay. I don't know how many times, you know, this has happened to me. People have come up to me and they go, Pastor D, in 1856, I did this to you. Would you forgive me? I'm like, what? Okay. They're the only ones that have been holding unforgiveness for years and years and years. And I didn't even know that I caused them unforgiveness. I didn't even know that I said something I shouldn't. And I'm just floating around doing fine. But you know what? The only people that get stuck and hurt is those that hold unforgiveness. Most of people don't even know what they did. Come on. I'm like, what? Really? Didn't know that. You've been mad at me that long? You've been offended with me that long? Really? I said, what? I don't even remember saying that. I don't know how many times I say that. Sherry says, Mom, you have a sound mind. I'm like, what? I don't remember. Okay. Unforgiveness hurts only you. Only you, right? Okay, now, I don't know where I got this quote. Pulled it out of the drawer here. Ready? Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So, ta-da! Really, okay? Listen, unforgiveness will blow a hole in your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions if you hold it. Unforgiveness. That's what it does. It's bad. Okay. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:19. This is a beautiful picture of somebody who is offended and is in unforgiveness. Beautiful. Here we go. It is harder to win back the friendship of an offended brother than to capture a fortified city. His anger shuts you out like iron bars. Okay, so here's what God's saying. When you're offended and you don't forgive, just imagine, we don't know so much about fortified cities, but have you seen the windows that have bars over the windows and the doors, those big old bars? Okay, unforgiveness does that to you. It locks you down. It captures you. It's bad, okay? It shuts down your emotions, okay? But listen, God has given you love, joy, peace, and you are to be open to people. But when you're in unforgiveness, man, it just messes up how you act. It messes up how you talk. It just messes up your soul. Soul meaning your emotions, how you think. So look, it is much better to let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Praise God. Okay, so let it go. Stop drinking the poison and release. And say, I forgive. Okay? Let it go and forgive. All right. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Pastor D, you don't know what so-and-so did to me. You have no idea how bad it was and what I went through. I will agree. I don't know. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know. Okay? And some of you, I know your stories. And I want to tell you, I leave the room and I cry. I weep. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the abuse, the rejection, the blah, 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 blah. And I go, God, how can they do that? How can they get the victory on this? You can't, but God can. God will help you. He will give you the strength to do it. He will give you the strength to do it. So I grab myself. Okay, let's just pray. You know, I can't imagine forgiving people some of the horrible things they've done to people. But I can't, but I'm going to go, God, I need your strength. I can do this with you. Okay, he's wonderful, all right? Listen to Philippians 4:13. So we can talk about now, how can I forgive? How do I forgive? And this is Philippians, all right? Okay, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And this version says he gives me strength. I'm telling you, some of you, the only way you're going to forgive is to say, God, I can't. I can't, but I can with your strength. I can with your strength. I can with your strength forgive this person for the horrible things they did to my family. They said, they stole, whatever like that, okay? So whenever I think of horrible things that people have suffered, I think of Joyce Myers. Y'all know Joyce Myers? And I haven't heard her testimony, so I'm going to just kind of give you the best of my memory one. When she was a little girl growing up, her father sexually abused her over 200 times. Okay? And now, Joyce Myers, the Joyce Myers, before she was famous, like she's pretty famous. Some days you can have 5 channels with her on all at the same time. Okay? She's kind of famous, all right? Okay? But before she was famous, she accepted Jesus Christ to be her Savior. And as she was growing, she's reading her Bible, and she reads, oh, I need to forgive. I need to forgive. And you know what? She did. She released her father. Okay. And then she went to him and said, Dad, I forgive you for doing this to my life as a child. And he said, you must have been dreaming. I never did such a thing. Yep. And he wouldn't fess up. He would not fess up. He wouldn't say, would you forgive me either? Because he didn't fess up. So years go by, and she actually buys him a house, and she takes care of him. Isn't that crazy? Crazy love, all right? And now, I am sure she didn't say, hey, let's go to Pappy's house with all the little kids and play with Pappy by himself, okay? Smart woman. She set boundaries, okay? But this man came back in their life, all right? And then years go on. She tells the story is one day he is just comes to her, I can't remember, calls her in stuff, and he is sobbing uncontrollably, and he is just, Joyce, Joyce, I got to talk to you. Joyce, Joyce, would you forgive me? I did do it. Would you forgive me? And he's just all over the floor. I did do it. Would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And she said, Daddy, I forgave you years ago. I forgave you years ago. And you know how I know she did that? Because you look at her life. You can't be the places that she is and she ministers if you hold that. It'll bite you in the butt. You can't do what she does. So I know for a fact, just looking at her life, she forgave. And you know, when I read that story, I heard it on a tape, so you know how long ago was that. I thought, man, only love can do that. Only love, the love that's really inside of us, can do that. Only love can do that. And I believe it's only God that she let help her. Some of you are sitting here and you have had horrible, terrible things. And you just have to say, God, this is horrible. I can't do this. Thank you. I need your help. Thank you. Help me forgive. Help me forgive. Help me forgive. Okay? So, number one, that was number one. How do you forgive? Number two, how do you forgive? Pray for them. Not lightning. Pray for them and bless them. Pray for them and bless them. This was big in Jack's life. Man, he preached this inside and out, and it ticked me off. What do you mean I got to bless them? Do you know what so-and-so did? But I got it. Hallelujah. So, if somebody did something really bad to you and you're offended, let me tell you, this will help. You start praying for them. Start praying for them, okay? Now, sometimes I forgive somebody, like, you did, and I forgive them, but the whole thing keeps buzzing back in my head. And then I want to not forgive them, but then I'd have to forgive them again. And I'm like, all right? And some of you maybe haven't even forgiven at all, but I'm telling you, pray for them and bless them. Just write that down. I'm going to pray for them and bless them. Now, I'm going to give you three scriptures. I'm not going to read them, but I kind of combine them, and this is how you do it. So write down Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44. Matthew 5, 43 and 44. And the second scripture is found in Luke 6, 27 and 28. And then the last scripture after Luke is Romans 12:14. So when you put them all together, this is what they say. Ready? Jesus says, first, love your enemies. First, he says, love your enemies. If you don't know what that love is, go study 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. That is perfect love. That'll tell you how to love and how not to love. That will tell you sweet love. So he's saying you need to love your enemies. So when I see that person that disciplefully used me, that caused my bad day, my worst day ever, if I have forgiven and I've been praying for them, I'm going to walk up and smile. I'm going to not talk about them when they walk away. All right? I'm going to be nice to them. That's why he says, love your enemies. Second thing he says is pray for those who despitefully use you. It's one of those scriptures, all right? So if somebody caused you a bad day, that's despitefully using you, all right? In case you don't know what that means. So pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. The other one is do good to those who did bad to you. Do good. Now we're going to talk about that, what that is. But do good to those who have been bad to you or caused you offense, all right? And then he says the last one, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. I'm telling you, that is the secret to having liberty and freedom where unforgiveness doesn't hold you or hurt you. That is the secret. It's not a secret anymore because I just told you. But listen, I can't tell you how many times I've had to say, Father, I forgive them. I bless them. Father, I bless that person. Father, bless their spouse, bless their kids. Lord, bless their business, bless their marriage, bless their car. And, you know, I really want to just say, lightning, lightning, lightning. Okay. But then I'm the one that's stuck. So I started all over. Father, I forgive them. And this has got me over the mountain. And I bless them. You know, as I got to know them, I'll say, you know, they're struggling. Maybe they got a wild child in high school. Father, bless that child of theirs. And, you know, I start playing blessings and blessings and blessings, okay? So if you're struggling to forgive somebody, the over the mountain is you're going to pray for them and say blessings. Say blessings. Blessings, right? Blessings. Say blessings, Pastor D. Okay. So I just want to close with this one more thought. It was probably about a decade that I struggled with this minimizing, this hurt, just being, I'd stuff it, I did, kind of denied it. And then I got to know this pastor lady, and she's a counselor. If you can't get over the mountain, go see a counselor. There's nothing, they're good. I mean, get a good one, get a Christian one. I'll tell you a few of them, but it's okay to go to a counselor. I used to say, I'd love them to send me away for 30 days. It'd be awesome. Send me away. Okay. Go get some counseling. I encourage you to do that if you have to. All right. All righty. So seriously, let's close our eyes. Let's pray. All right. Serious praying. Some of you, I have ruined your day.